Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to the Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everybody. This is Bishop Shalene Cook, and I'm so blessed to be here once again tonight to welcome you to Wounded No More for this, praise God, Thursday, January 13th, 2022. And now, here is your anointed host and facilitator, Prophetess Vanessa Carver. Hallelujah.
Good evening, everyone. It's good to be back in 2022 with Wounded No More. And I'm thankful for that break we had, but I tell you, there's something to be said when you are just preparing to serve and teach, because you usually are teaching yourself first. And I didn't know what I was going to teach. I really didn't. I was like, Lord, what do you want me to teach? And there was this silence. I didn't hear anything. And I just got still and just trusted God would know. And I just heard humility. And I'm going to preface it by telling you why he told me to teach humility. I remember last year in 2021, one of the first shows I taught on was the love of God. And we talked about all types of love and how we love our brothers, how we love ourselves, and how important that was after aftermath of 2020. And here is 2021, and now we're in 2022. Humility is so important because it has a lot to do with our relationships with God and with one another. It has a lot to do with how we see ourselves, and it has a lot to do with our spiritual and, to be honest, natural growth, our maturity level, spiritually and naturally. And there are many, many things that many of us have learned in the, as servant leaders between, you know, serving, but also specifically these two pivotal years that started the decade. There's so much, and there's so much God is still teaching us, and there's a lot of downloads. And some of these things we are able to use, and some things we have not been able to use yet through our experiences. But God is downloading so much into us, and it's really important to stay humble. Many of us, some people have, because of loss and because of not just loss of life, but loss of physical things, a position or whatever, there's been new levels of humility that has been introduced into their lives like never before. It gives you a whole different perspective of who you are and who do you think you are and who God is and who we thought God was. I'm telling you, just, and that's just to put it lightly, but I want to define it humble, which is a root of, it's the root of humility. It has, according to the dictionary, having or showing a modest or low estimate of one's own importance. It's to be meek, respectful, submissive, self-effacing, unassertive. To be, you can see that as humility. Of low social, administrative, or political rank, lowly, lower class, you know, plebeian, solitary, common. Some people would say, you know, to be humble. And this is just a worldly dictionary. It's also a verb. I knew he had humbled himself to ask for my help. That's an example. Humiliate, abase, demean, belittle, degrade, debase. Now, all these words that I've used and read from the dictionary, they seem so negative. Don't they have such a negative connotation to them, to me? And I think that's why if we put on our biblical worldview and our godly worldview and our Christian worldview, then humility is a little different. And I'm going to just talk about that a little bit tonight, about how important humility is, and we shouldn't downplay it, and we shouldn't be afraid of it. And we should know that this is one of these principles that God uses to grow us up and grow us out. It's really important. Earlier this week, he had me in Philippians, and I'm going to be in Philippians tonight, specifically Philippians 1, 7 through Philippians 2 through 14. So I'm going to start Philippians 1, 27 through chapter 2:14. I'm just going to be reading. I will be reading back and forth between the Common English Bible and the Amplified and the ESV. And humility is very important. And here we have Paul writing and encouraging the Philippians, dealing with, you know, them and encouraging them as he always does in the epistles. And I felt like God led me to the scripture today because for me, one day I was asking questions in prayer, and I think I was just focusing on things that really I shouldn't have been focusing on. And the Lord was just like, because it was coming from a place of frustration, and he said, go to Philippians 2. And it was about Christ's example of humility. But it starts in First Philippians 1, verse 27 is where I'm going to start. And I just want you to understand, just like last year and maybe the year before, it's important that people understand how important the word is. The word speaks for itself. And I'm always going to read scripture. And sometimes some people may think I'm reading too much scripture, but listen, that's my foundation. And everything else that I say versus what I read in the word is not that important. It's really what's in the word. And I really want this year to be a show where the word is embraced and craved for more than anything else.
Amen.
And I think that's so important. I pray that God, that you develop a love for the word of God.
Yes.
And that's why I read for so many different versions, because it's important not to tickle your fancy, not to be all in your feelings, but to get some foundational truth. And from that foundational truth, you can build and live practically every day the way God wants you to live. So I start in verse 27 of chapter 1 in Philippians, and this is Paul speaking. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you, that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them that their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw that I had, and now hear that I still have. Now, when you read that same passage in the Amplified, in the Common English Bible, talking about living worthy of the gospel, which is a subheading, and it goes this way. Most important, live together in a manner worthy of Christ's gospel. Do this. Whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, do this so that you stand firm, united in one spirit and mind as you struggle together to remain faithful to the spirit, to remain faithful to the gospel. That way, you won't be afraid of anything your enemies do. Your faithfulness and courage are a sign of their coming destruction, and your salvation, which is from God. God has generously granted you the privilege, not only of believing in Christ, but also for suffering for Christ's sake. You are having the same struggle that you saw me face, and now hear that I'm still facing. So, listen, there's a couple of things in this passage, verse 27 through 30, that I want to highlight. We always talk about humility has to do with teachability and things of that nature, and that's true. Especially when it comes to the spirit, you'll hear about people, and I've said it many times on my own, about how important it is to stay teachable so you can be understanding spiritual things and doctrine can grow you up. But I'm going to tell you this today was highlighted as I begin to focus on that word. Teachability. You know, there's things in the natural that we need to learn from people, from servant leaders, from others by example that are men and that are flesh and blood just like us. And that if we don't stay teachable in the spirit, we'll never grow either. So we can't just yearn to grow from the spirit, but then don't yearn from the things that God has put people here on earth to teach us things, to grow us up, to impart things to us, to instruct us, to give us direction, you know. And he said, don't forget that, because those two things go together. And that takes a level of humility to be before somebody who's flawed, just like you. Just like, you know, we can learn many things from the Holy Spirit all day long, but it's the same thing, and it's very just as important to learn from those who God has put into your life for a reason, to stay humble before them and be teachable before them and learn from them, especially our servant leaders that are teachers. And in the, whether they're teaching scripture or whether they're teaching a principle in the natural, how to do something in the practice, in the practical everyday life, we have to stay submitted to the Spirit, to stay submitted to them, to learn what we need to learn. And so in this scripture, it talks about them struggling together and being faithful and having courage. And I think a lot of times when we are teachable to those in our lives, in the body of Christ, that means we are going to go through things. There's things that people are going through right now that are suffering. And you know, we're not going to always feel like we know it's not okay to judge them. But did we ever stop to think, what can we learn from their example by how they're suffering, how they're not complaining, how they still believe God, how they're still serving, and so how they are faithful? What are we learning from their example? Just like we learn from Christ's example, first and foremost, but there are people all around us, whether we agree with their choices or not, that I believe the Holy Spirit might be highlighting, you can learn from them too. You can learn from a child. If God is highlighting that in your life. And I think that, I just want to highlight that and emphasize how important it is to be teachable spiritually and naturally. And as they suffered together, he was talking about their faithfulness and their courage and being of one mind and how important that is. And that takes you all a level of submission. And in this same passage in chapter 2, which I'm going to read as well, in verses 12 through 14, he talks about being lights in the world. And I truly believe if we are submitted to the purposes and mission of Christ, we will be light. But until that happens, we will not be light. So humility, in this case, I feel like has a lot to do with submission, being undergirded by the mission of Christ. What, and that has a lot to do with your identity as well as your purpose in Christ. So it's a lot. I feel like that's saying a lot, but I feel like if you're clear about those areas, that's submission to the will of God in word and deed, right? And so easier said than done, but I think as I was reading this scripture, I thank God for revelation, and he was just showing me how this, the level of submission to his purposes, as well as how we love and serve one another, being of the same mindset and the same purpose. We're all going, you know, in the same, in alignment with each other. We know what our purposes are. We're building together. We're not undermining each other and tearing each other down together. We're building it ourselves up together. And all that is easier said than done. But I think if we understand that this takes a level of humility, and many of us that have been serving for years and some of us decades, there's levels of humility. You know, your level of humility when you first started out is different now than your level of humility now if you're over a lot of people, if God is having you lead in different capacities. So you have more authority. At the same time, I think in some ways you have to have another level of humility too as well to serve a lot of people and to lead a lot of people. That's not an easy task, and it really is something that if God is leading you to do, you should do. And a lot of people don't want to do it, but I truly believe that first and foremost, he's going to need you. He's going to need us, especially when he elevates us and matures us and grows us up. That means you got to have a whole nother level of submission and humility to him. To him. So, which creates new levels of intimacy as well. So I'm going to read chapter 2, and this time I'm going to read in the Amplified. I'm going to read on here until I get to about verse 9 or 10. So there, so by whatever appeal to you there is in our mutual dwelling in Christ, by whatever strengthening and consoling and encouraging our relationship in him affords, by whatever persuasive incentive there is in love, by whatever participation in the Holy Spirit we share, and by whatever depth of affection and compassionate sympathy. Fill up and complete my joy, this is Paul saying, by living in harmony and being of the same mind and one in purpose, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one harmonious mind and intention. Do nothing from factional motives, and that means through contentious strife, selfishness, or for unworthy ends, or prompted by conceit and empty arrogance. Instead, in the true spirit of humility, lowliness of mind, and then defining it specifically, lowliness of mind, let each regard the others as better than, thinking more highly of one another than you do for your, of yourself. So as I'm reading that, the Lord is just also speaking to me about this is true service, how we serve one another. How can you really effectually serve one another if you think you're better than that person in some kind of way? Or you think certain things are beneath you, or you feel like they're beneath you, or they're not as educated as you are, or you have more money than they do, or whatever. So it says lowliness of mind. Take every thought captive and subject it to the obedience of Christ. That's what I would say if you are struggling mentally when it comes to how we serve one another and are united with one another. Just take those thoughts captive and don't let them get into your heart, because it does affect how we serve. Verse 4 says, let each of you esteem and look and be concerned for not merely your own interests, but also each for the interests of others. And we all can work on that a little bit better. I'm just going to speak for myself. When you come from a big family and you have a big family yourself, it's like you get spread thin. But I still believe that there's something in me that can be more conscientious this year of, as it pertains to the body of Christ, is looking into other people's interests in the body of Christ and how do I serve them, and just be listening to the heart of God, what that is. And he'll lead and guide me into the right direction. And I don't have to be worried or concerned about being used or being overlooked or anything. If I'm being led by God, he'll show me how to serve my brother and my sister in Christ. But I think that on my part, that has to be an intention. It has to come from my will, my soul. And so that's an area where, as I'm reading this, I can do better in that area. Let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, in verse 5. Let him be your example in humility. And he was the best example of humility, not just because he bled and died, but all the things that he did before he was crucified. There are many things that he did that can give us many examples of lowliness of mind. And you know, he said in Matthew 10:16, how we could be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And he also said in Matthew 11:29, to take his yoke and learn of him, for he is gentle and lowly in heart, and to find rest for the soul, and gives us rest for the soul. So when we get closer to him, it helps us be more like him. But what I want to stress is in those two verses is about harmless and gentle he was. And Jesus was gentle, but he also could be very, I guess you can say, very strict, very confrontational. But I want to focus today because of the topic of humility, about how gentle he was. Even when he was dealing with people that were trying to trap him constantly, test him, kill him, he was gentle. He was gentle. And I think it's important for us to understand that that's one of the fruits of the Spirit is gentleness. And so when you think about humility, true humility in Christ allows us to be gentle, knowing that at that time we are exemplifying the one of the traits of Christ is to be gentle. And I think when you're humble, some people would say, oh, that means people think I'm a doormat, or I don't speak up for myself enough. And I think there's a balance in all that. You got to learn when it's time to be quiet and when it's time to speak up. And I think that don't allow that mentality to make you believe I can't truly be humble. And, you know, he'll fight for us. When a lot of times when he's telling us to close our mouth, he said, you know, be still and know that I'm God. That stillness and that quietness in it is a level of humility that we need to exercise for God to be God in our lives. And that takes humility. And I think from that is cultivated true gentleness. We learn to be gentle with those who are rough with us or who underestimate us or who think lowly of us. That to me is also another level of servitude. And you know, when that doesn't mean you're ignorant, because he said, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You know, it has to be an intention from the heart. And that's when I get done teaching, I'm going to pray about some of these things that I'm talking about, because I realize from being still and knowing he was God and letting him fight for us and suffering together and struggling together and going through persecution, knowing that this is part of our fellowship of how we suffer together and how we create community and brotherhood and unity and intimacy with Christ. Man, we need to know that, first of all, we can do that. And second of all, it takes the strength of God and the focus to do that. I think humility is truly, somebody told me this once, and they said one of their definitions for humility was to be strength under control or power under control. And that means you don't have to go around fighting for yourself, speaking loud. You know, this is a quote from Roosevelt, I think it was Teddy Roosevelt, that said, you know, speak softly and carry a big stick. And that's about authority. So I think that when we talk about truth, authority, humility is cultivated in there somewhere with true authority. Somebody who's in charge doesn't always go around saying, I'm the boss, I'm the boss. They show up and everybody knows that's the boss. So I think that humility has a lot to do with being shut mouth and just being able to do the power of God in your life and the favor of God in your life as Christ did. Letting him know that he goes before us in everything that we do. So let's continue to read. So who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained, but stripped himself of all privilege and rightful dignity so as to assume the guise of a servant. Like I said, we've been talking about serving, and that he became like men and was born a human being. And after he had appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further. That's what I'm saying. There's different levels of humility. Even further, you see one level to a next level to a next level, in that he became like men and was born human. And after he had appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further, and carried his obedience to the extreme. So there's obedience in this to you all. Don't be humble for humble's sake, but literally it takes the level of humility to be obedient to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, because he stooped so low and God was highly exalted, God highly exalted him and was freely bestowed on him the name that is above every name. When I think of that verse 9, he stooped low and God highly exalted him. You know, when you are truly humble and you're suffering and you're going through things or whatever, God is the one that elevates us. True humility and true promotion comes from God. True promotion comes from God. And right, that's another example of humility being intertwined, interwoven in all these things. We need humility, you all. We really do, to really be able to serve in excellence, to be obedient, to be of one mind, to be empowered, to learn from others as well as from our God. We need humility. Verse 10, that in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue frankly and openly will confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear one, as you have always obeyed my suggestions. And this is Paul talking to the Philippians. So now, not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more because I am absent. Work out. This is a good one too. Work out your own salvation with reverence and awe, trembling, self-distrust, with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidity, shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ. Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and the desire, both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction. I'm going to read that in the CEB, verses 12-13. Therefore, my loved ones, just as you have always obeyed me, not just when I am present, but now even more while I'm away, carry out your own salvation with fear and trembling. God is the one who enables you both to want and to actually live out his good purposes. He gives us the will and the to do his purposes and the walk in his purposes. And I think it's important to understand that's another place where you can see why it's so important to have same mind, same purpose, being in agreement with our brothers and sisters in Christ, being in agreement with God, asking God to give us understanding so that we can stay in agreement, stay in alignment, and know the difference when we're not in agreement, and know the difference when we're not in alignment, because it's an everyday. I think we just need to be more conscious of how important it is to be humble. And we live in a world where it's vying for our attention, and there's just a whole new perspective, in my opinion, about distraction. Distraction is just art form, if you will. The things that vie for our attention on a given basis, on any given day, what distracts us from the purposes of God and doing things his way and being submitted to, what would you have me to do, Lord? How would you have me to do that? And learning how to engage with him so that we can learn how to more effectively engage with one another. And I think this is a perfect topic to teach the first of the year. There's so many things that have happened already in my own personal life the first 2 weeks of the year, and most of them have not been good. But one thing I will have to say, God's presence, he has made his presence known in the midst of darkness, uncertainty, frustration, vexation, fear. His presence has been there. And it's important that we stay in a place where even when things are not going our way, or we're like, what is all this about, Lord? What's going on? To still know that he hides us in the shadows of his wing, and to be still and know that he is God. Know that he is fighting for us. He is protecting us from many things. Still, danger seen and unseen. So I said, you know, in the midst of, I had a terrible accident about 2 weeks ago, and I could have been out of here because it was really bad and it scared me. But I thank God for his presence and his mercy and his healing power and the prayers of so many people. And one of the things that I kept asking God while I was even in the emergency room, what in the world is going on, Lord? Why am I going through this? And what do you want to, and once I stopped whining and said, what do you want to teach me from this? And one of the things I did hear, he said several things. But one of the things I heard him say, we need you to know that you trust me no matter what it looks like and what's going on. Whatever I say goes. God had told me while I was bleeding out that he was going to heal me. And that's all it should have took. But I still was afraid because it was looking worse and worse and worse. And he said, I need you to know that that you trust me and that you believe my word. No matter what I say, it goes. I don't care what it looks like. You got to trust me. And so I said, okay. And after a while, I thank God for my husband being there and praying with me and many people praying all over the country for me. And I thank God for that. So I think that that's in a way where how we get together and we submit to the will of God and we become those true lights in the world, as it says in 13. How do we become lights? How do we carry out our own salvation? Humility. Humility of Christ. Let's start there first. There's a lot of examples in the Bible, but let's start with Christ. Let's start with his example, and then from there it will generate other examples in our lives of humility in the, you know, different leaders and people spiritually and naturally that we can gain some level of, you know, insight of how they were humble in certain ways. But first and foremost, Christ. We think about how, this is another thing I wanted to bring up, when he talked about them suffering and persecution and how they're struggling together. You know, and that's part of our birthright, actually. That's part of our suffering, and that's part of the brotherhood. There's things that we will suffer. There's things that we will go through. But I tell you what, we won't come back out of that on the other side. Dumb, I tell you that. Anything we go through is teaching us something and making us more sharp and brighter than we were before we went through that thing. And it's not just for us. It's for somebody else, because that is a tool of how we serve one another. And that is also another tool of what God uses for us to draw souls into the kingdom. Because all of us was not, many of us, we weren't always saved. We done gone through some terrible things. Some things we brought on ourselves and some things we did not. And even in all that, God is going to use that. So this show is called Wounded No More, which means despite the fact that you've gone through things, you might even have a scar to remind you what you went through, you're going to use it for his glory. And that takes a level of humility to look at that thing different than you did before. Listen, God wants to use and will use everything, not so we can have a badge of courage and go around, you know, bragging and acting like me, and I did this, and I'm still here. If it wasn't for the grace of God, if it wasn't for God, I would not be here. Many of us would not be here. So therefore, take everything that God has given you and use it for his glory, to become intimate with him, to build unity with others, and to learn how to be the light in the world. Be that city on a hill, for real. Be that city on a hill, and don't hide your light. So if there's things that you've gone through that you're ashamed of or you feel guilty of, don't. In true humility, sit before the Lord and begin to learn how to take that thing apart and help somebody else. Not for to feel sorry for yourself or for somebody else to feel sorry for yourself, but to let people know that beauty for ashes. Ashes, whatever we come out of, God can make it a beautiful thing. And I want to close with that and just let you know how important it is. Hopefully this will be something that you can chew on and sit with and talk to God about, the level of humility that it's going to take for some assignments he has in your life, or some things he's been asking you to do, or some things that he will ask you to do. And if this is about your salvation, and this is drawing you closer to the Lord in a different way than before, yay and amen. That's all I got to say about it, because it's for his glory, but anything that's for his glory is going to do you well too. It's going to change your life in a good way. It's going to change your life in a good way, make you more stronger, help you focus, help you have peace that surpasses all understanding to guard your heart and mind. I had peace, like, and I knew that was God sitting up in there bleeding out like that. So, you know, no matter what it looks like tonight, for anybody, some people might be going through maybe not a physical emergency like I was. They might be going through something else. But nevertheless, it's taxing them and it's making them afraid and they're thinking of God forgot. You know, you belong to God, beloved, and you need to understand that the level of humility is to sit in that place where you feel the most scared, where you feel the most discouraged, and begin to talk to the Lord and listen to what he has to say about the situation. He will bless you. He will strengthen you. He will give you insight and understanding and direction and instruction. So, Father God, right now, I just thank you for the victory. I thank you, Father God, that we know who you are, and we begin to understand and then let that evolve about who you are to us as we decide to walk in humility, that we stay teachable spiritually and naturally in this season right now, in this year. and that everything that we learned the last 2 years, that maybe this is the time that we start using that for your kingdom. I thank you, Lord, today that we learn to be submitted to your will at all times, no matter what's going on in our lives, no matter what's going on in our loved ones' lives. Lord, I thank you today, too, for the things that we suffer. This creates community in our hearts, and it breaks up hard places in our hearts, Lord, so that we can draw together and use everything that we have, Lord, to lift one another up. And to truly understand to think of yourself lowly and think of somebody else's interest is what's going to build intimacy. And this is what the world sees. And that this will also engender obedience, new levels of obedience, Lord, to have the same mind and the same purpose and agreement, and intentionally agreement, and intentionally agreeing with your words versus what culture says, versus what people say in the world. I thank you, Father God, to be also that your example, first and foremost, that we just go to the word and soak in it and remember what you said and keep remembering what you said and not and take it to heart so that when we go on our jobs and our families, Father God, that we can truly show people what true humility really is today. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. What a beautiful, powerful word on humility. Prophetess Vanessa, I just want to thank you for that teaching. And as you said, it's always needed. It is always a timely message. And I just, you know, as servant leaders, I really liked how you expressed, you know, the more you're exalted, it brings you to another level of humility. And I live that each and every day here on this network with you and Pastor Lester and all the other servant leaders here. First of all, we really, all of us understand that it's not about us. It's all about God. We check our egos, are always checked at the door, because we understand that ego edges God out, and we want him to be present and active in everything that we do. And because of that, I respect what God is doing through you. And I am respected for what God is doing through me. It fosters such a deep love and commitment one to another brother. And so, you know, it's easy to be humble when you know that it's only by the grace of God that you're receiving anything. And the more he turns over to you to do, my feeling is always, wow, God, really? Me? I'm not underestimating myself. I'm just saying, Lord, you're so good. You're so gracious. You're so kind. I know who I am. And I know that I don't deserve any of this. But because of your grace and your mercy and your love for me through the brethren, I know who you are. I know who I am. And I'm just so blessed by it all. So, Prophetess Vanessa, I just want to thank you, because that was a word that a lot of servant leaders especially need to hear, because we have so many that unfortunately walk in false humility. And humility is about power under control. It's about being able to say, you know, what will benefit you instead of what will benefit me. It's about esteeming others higher than yourself. It's not putting yourself down. It's simply saying, what can I do to better someone else's life? That's real humility. That's what you taught tonight. And I truly appreciate that, woman of God.
Thank you.
Now, if there's anyone else in the studio that would like to, we still have a few moments, if you would like to just simply touch and agree with Prophetess, or if you would like her to pray for you personally, she is an anointed intercessor. You are more than welcome to press your one, and I will address you by your area code and the last four digits of your phone number. Or if you are in the chat room, you may type a question or a comment or even your prayer request. Or you can always call into the studio at 714-364-4337 and speak to her directly. So once again, we just praise God for all that we have heard. We thank God for the message. Thank God for the messenger. May he just continue to use you as mightily as he does. I love you. I appreciate you, and I appreciate who you are in Christ. So my beautiful sister, I don't see anyone, so I will turn your program over to you, and you can have a final word, and then I will close for you.
Thank you, Bishop Cook, Apostle Cook. I think when I get to the place where God pricks my heart while I prepare, while I'm preparing or presenting, that means there's more for me to do and more that God has to say to me personally about this topic, because just like last year when I talked about crying, breaking on down. So I thank God today for what he's doing with this network and different ministries and peer ministries that in the body of Christ. And I think that, you know, the level of humility that God's going to, that he's asking for is going to be unprecedented. So I think even as it pertains to race and all kinds of stuff, that some of these things, the only way some of these things are going to be eradicated is humility, for real. Not false humility. And so
come on.
I pray that we just stay sensitive to his heart and his motives and not our own, and recognize the difference. Like I said before, and this don't take years and weeks and stuff to be studying about it. It really takes a heart of obedience. And so it's something that I'm going to not keep teaching about, but I'm going to keep seeing what God has to say about it as it pertains to my own personal life. I really appreciate this ministry. I appreciate everything that the vision that God has given Bishop Cook over the years and the people that are on this network. I'm going to be more involved in the peer ministries that have to do with this this network more and more, because I think that I can't just say one thing and not do it. It's important that we bind together on purpose and let the world see that that's what it is. That's how they know we love one another. That's a witness to the world.
Amen, Pastor. Amen. Say that. Glory to God. My brothers, my sisters, you have truly heard the word on this evening from Prophetess Vanessa Carver. She is truly a woman of God. She is a visionary for God. She is a pioneer for God. She's out there. She's an author, a celebrated author. In my world, she's a celebrated author. Praise God. And if you haven't went out there and you're in the studio and you'd like to know more about Prophetess Vanessa Carver, she does have books on out there. Go look her up. You will be blessed. You have been listening to Wounded No More on the Spirit Alive Network. And on behalf of Prophetess Vanessa and myself, I would like to thank you all for listening. And I pray that you have heard something on tonight that has truly uplifted your spirit and has blessed your very soul. Now, it is our fervent prayer that you continue to study to show thyself approved and acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from my household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night. God bless you, and to God be the glory. Beautiful Prophetess Vanessa. Beautiful Pastor. Just beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless. Good night.
God bless.